Thanks, Pastor Lou. God is good. And all the time, happy birthday, Kristen. Gotcha. So the Council of Nicaea was the first council in the history of the Christian church that was intended to address the entire body of believers. It was convened by the Emperor Constantine to resolve the controversy of Arianism, a doctrine that held that Christ was not divine, but was a created being. The council deemed Arianism a heresy and enshrined the divinity of Christ by invoking the term homoousis, another one of my favorite words now, the Greek term homoousis, which means of one substance. So the Trinity, the God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're all of one substance. In a statement of faith known as the Creed of Nicaea, Arianism was actually the official orthodoxy of the Eastern Roman Empire until 381 AD, when the Council of Constantinople declared it, declared the doctrine of Trinity, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three equal parts of the single Godhead.
Yeah.
proclaim the Lord our God in voice and song and deed. Praise his most holy name and declare his supremacy of all creation, over all creation. Praise the Lord Jesus, the Son, who came down from heaven to show us the way to live with him forever. Praise the Holy Spirit, who permeates everyone and everything, an ever-present source of holy power. Sing and pray and worship, for he is our God, and his will is perfect. Of your Son Jesus drives us forward. Thank you for everything you have done for us, for you are God, and all the glory is yours, now and forever.
Breathe new.
Won't you please be seated? Kabong. So, please read with me, ladies and gentlemen, the Great Commission. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So the Great Commission is Christ's instruction to the apostles and to us all. The last verse of Matthew empowers us to go out and make disciples out of men and women. A disciple is a learner who seeks to become like the one he is following. So using Christ as an example, the apostles set out to teach people to be like him. Baptism in the name of the Trinity, teaching others what Christ means, interpreting the Word of God for others, that is the work Jesus has laid out for all of us. And there, right there, is the mission field. We come in here to learn and to worship, to go out there. We go out there to teach, mostly by our actions and examples. The song says they will know we are Christians by our love. And what better way to draw people to God than act like him? Matthew ends with the promise that Christ is with us forever. Emmanuel, God with us.
Do you realize that if somebody didn't love you enough to tell you about Jesus, you wouldn't be here today? And you may be still living in sin without hope. We lose sight of that very quickly, don't you? Somebody took the time to love us. And you know, the ironic part of that is they may not have even liked us. But they loved us to share Christ with us. And they left the rest to the Spirit. And so I am thankful for the people who took time to take a step of faith to share Christ with me. Because I was not an easy sell, if I could put it that way. I owe somebody an apology because the first time someone approached me with the gospel, very nice young man, I was in college, and he was from Campus Crusade, and he started to present the gospel to me, and I was eating dinner, and we were talking, and he was very gentle, he was very good about it, but I wasn't ready. So, you know, he kept on pushing it a little bit, and this is a true story. I said, "If you're not going to stop, I'm going to throw you out," just like that. And he stopped. He was smart. He stopped. He says, "I'm not here to force anything," and that's the right way to go about it. And but that was the start of my journey, and I'll never forget this young man taking time to talk to me. So when I see him in heaven, I'm going to owe an apology. Because I didn't understand at the time, but as time went on, and God continued to chase me, literally chase me, things became clearer. So, as we go forth as a church with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, we need to remember a couple of things. Number one, all of us are unlovable. What makes us unlovable? Our sin, our pride. And we serve a God who loved us enough to not let that get in the way of him making the gospel clear to us. So listen, I tell this to people all the time, don't ever, ever in your own mind say that anybody is beyond salvation. That's God's business. Our business is to be the messenger. And we're to deliver that message in love. And so, with that in mind, with the Great Commission in mind, and Thanks, Chip, for explaining it. I'm going to ask a couple of people to come up, and we're going to wait upon you for tithes and offerings. Now, we do have a rather big event coming up. We have two events coming up, but at Lacey Day, we give out lots of materials, lots, to point people to the gospel. We pray with them. We're there to listen to their complaints about the church in general. We're there to let them tell us how hypocritical Christians are, and that's okay, right? Our main objective is not to defend ourselves. Our main objective is to point them to the love of Christ. So we pour a lot of resources into this. The other thing that's going to be happening on the last Sunday of the month, which I believe is the 29th, we're going to be doing our normal worship service, and it's going to be a little bit abbreviated because I want to start this series after a service. And I say series, it's not going to be every week, but you'll see how it works out. Talking about worldview and how do we respond to the things that are happening right now in our culture, okay? And that will follow the service on the 29th. And of course, if I'm asking you to stay late, we're going to have food here. All right? Here's my request. Please stay. Please set time on your calendar to stay. This is important. Okay? We live in a culture. I'm not telling you any secrets. We live in a culture that is so anti-God in many ways. And they lie so much about God that one thing I know about the sin nature, if you lie enough to people, they'll start to believe it. So we're going to confront some tough issues head on and to see how we need to live as godly men and women going forward in a hostile culture. Because the culture is hostile, just like it was in Jesus' day. Only we try to make everything hunky-dory, and it's not. So these are the things we're working towards. These are the special services coming up. It's in your bulletin. Please keep it. Make plans to be here. Unless you bring a note in saying that you're dead, you need to be here, okay? So we're going to wait upon you now as you give very generously, I might add, and you have been very generous, so we can carry on the work of the gospel. Lacey Day is one of the opportunities that we have to share the gospel. I hope you're there. Let's pray. Father, thanks. Thank you for all the opportunities you give to us. Thank you for providing. Father, in this small congregation, people give, and they give voluntarily and generously. We thank you. We don't take that for granted. We ask you to bless the offering, bless the giver, and Father, as we come up on a busy September, that in everything we do, we glorify you. And so, Father, be honored by this offering to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I really like going out to dinner or lunch with my wife. I like doing that. We enjoy it. Some of you remember Ed Clemenson, dear man, was a leader in the church years ago before he went home to be with the Lord. And he was a golfer. And it was very rare for a golfer to be in church on Sundays. So I said to him one time, Ed, you know, I appreciate you coming. And he says, well, I need to be here. I said, well, that's good. And then he says to me, Ed was kind of like the pragmatic, you know, leader. He says, yeah, golfing is very expensive too. And I said, okay, how does that play into this? He says, I'd rather save the money and go out to eat with my wife. And I thought that was commendable. So as we make plans, you know, to go forward, please, one of the things we're going to talk about today is priorities. But speaking about going out to eat with my wife, we were out doing errands. We stopped to get a bite to eat, not in this town, but in another town. And in the restaurant were some town workers. And I mean, they're hard workers. They do a good job. However, when there were maybe 8 or 9 of them, their language left something to be desired. So, I mean, they were loud and obnoxious in their language. So I turned to them and very kindly asked, hey, would you please watch your language, you know? Because there were other people in the restaurant also. Well, of course, they started to mock me and say, you know, there's no freedom of speech anymore, and this and that, right? And listen, I didn't have a stellar moment. I got angry. And if it wasn't for Mary Lou, I probably would have got myself in further trouble. But the reason why I'm telling you this is simply this. In our culture, we have adopted vulgarity as a normal course of life. To some people, it's how we talk now. Well, I got news for you. I get offended very easily by the language. Especially if you take the Lord's name in vain, I get offended. However, listen, I'm no prude, okay? But language can be very offensive. And even when I was young, you know, and, you know, the language was bad, in our worst days, we wouldn't think of using bad language around women. We just didn't do it, okay? So the media has brainwashed us to think this is appropriate. And everybody talks like this. I'm bringing this up because we all have a worldview. Every single one of us, whether you realize it or not, we all have a worldview, and we catch our worldview like we catch a cold. None of us wake up in the morning and say, "I think I'm going to catch a cold today." It just happens, right? You're around people, and all. But the culture, the news, our friends, our family of origin, all factors go into formulating a cultural worldview. And I got news for you. Most times, it's bad. Most times. Then we come out, I tell the men this all the time, by the way, in men's group. Tommy, correct me if I'm wrong. I'd say to them, what comes out of your mouth reveals what's in your heart. And that's not a truism with me. That's what Jesus said. So when we use foul, offensive language, and we think that's normal, that just reflects the fact that our sin nature believes it's normal, and there's nothing wrong with it. I honestly thought about reversing the tables. I honestly thought about coming up here today and starting my message with some vulgarities and say, how do you like that? You'd probably walk out, right? Listen, the culture wants us to buy into some very bad things. And we're going to talk about those over the coming weeks. But we have to realize that our sin nature gravitates to this. And that if we aren't influenced by the right things, we're going to have a bad worldview. It's going to be anything but biblical. Let me give you some other indicators, okay? And if you get angry at me, I'm sorry, but I can't sugarcoat this. people in the church many times believe there's nothing wrong with living together outside of marriage. People in the church don't see a problem with ending life in the womb for no other reason than the baby's just not wanted. People in the church no longer believe that Sundays are sacred. Now, I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the church in North America. That's why the church in North America is so weak. And we've lost our influence. The other thing, too, is all this other stuff, and you're going to hear it. You know, you'll hear it on the news. You'll hear it on this. Think back to that situation in the restaurant that Mary Lou and I found ourselves in. If I had gotten up and started to talk about Jesus, what do you think they would have done? They would have told me I was disruptive, rude, and I offend people. But their language doesn't offend me. You get the contrast. We start to accept the things of the world and put them in the church. And that's why we're in real trouble. Because we have failed to develop a Christian worldview. Now or a biblical worldview. There's reasons for that. And the reasons is we don't avail ourselves to good Bible teaching, to studying on our own the principles of Scripture, to discipleship groups, to prayer meetings, to worship service. Okay. If I had announced on Facebook that this was going to be a Harris or Trump meeting today, this place would have been packed. It would have been packed, right? Which side of the aisle you're on doesn't matter. There's Democrats and Republicans. And it would have been packed. That should put the church to shame. Because we come worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're not worshiping Harris or Trump. Because once we fall into that trap, Satan's going to divert us from the Great Commission. And that's a dangerous place for a church to be in. Listen, I'm not telling you shouldn't have any political views or anything like that. Your political views are your business. You vote your conscience. All I'm saying is this. The church in North America has lost its purpose. And we read it in two verses before. To go out into the world. Make disciples. If I can put that in modern day language, it would be go out and gossip about Jesus. Right? Go out and gossip about Jesus. Well, people may not like me. What do you care? Right? Go out and talk about your Savior. Every one of you who has come to know Christ, you have a story. You know who you were before you knew Christ, and you knew that Christ died for you on the cross. And tell your story. That's all you need to do. You don't have to be a theologian with 10 degrees on the wall. I'll give you some of mine. Tell your story. Welcome to football season. Right, Janine? Go Cowboys. Someone blue. Someone green. We talk more about our football teams than we do the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You want to be on a winning team? Very simple. Follow Christ. We know the end of the story. Very simple. Follow Christ. Easier said than done, isn't it? Because when you're a Christ follower, especially in today's day and age. By the way, I believe that the times we live in are no different than the times Jesus lived in when he was on this earth. Because his message wasn't received real well either, was it? Yet, it didn't stop him. Last week, after service, We, Joey and Melissa, kindly invited us to their houses. They made some hot dogs and hamburgers, and we had, you know, we had lunch together. And I'm not complaining, they were good. But we passed by three soccer fields, and they were packed. You couldn't get a parking space. They were packed. On the Sundays where I teach at the Kelsey School at Toms River Community Church, I go up Route 9, and there's a marijuana dispensary service in South Toms River. I think it's South Toms River, right? There's no parking spaces to be had. And yet every church in the area has empty seats. Listen, the church is in trouble. I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about the church in general. And I believe the reason why we're in trouble is because we no longer talk about the Savior. We talk about the Savior maybe a little bit on a Sunday, but when Monday comes, it's back to the normal routine. We get involved in the daily problems of life. And listen to what I'm going to say. And if you don't believe me, I'm in good company because C.S. Lewis would agree with me. Probably one of the best theologians that ever lived. Satan likes nothing better than a complacent believer. Do you hear that? If you're a complacent believer, you're no threat to the kingdom of Satan. It's good. In fact, in Screwtape Letters, he uses the term to Wormwood as he's training Wormwood. Listen, don't disturb that Christian over there. Keep them fat, dumb, and happy. And they'll never be a threat. Wow. We have no problem with sinful gossip. People love to talk. One of the things I don't appreciate about going out and eating is that if you happen to sit at a table with with people, and it doesn't matter what age, boy, they like to talk about people when people aren't there. Right? When I managed an office years ago, when I first came out of college, I had 10 women that were under my authority. And I would observe a lot as we go through the day. And of course, you know, in a matter of a work day, you know, you have to go to the bathroom sometimes. I came to the conclusion that it was the most dangerous place to be. Because as soon as you walked out of the room, the other people started talking about you. And then you come back in and they shut up. And then another one gets up and they start talking about that person, right? We have no problem gossiping. Hey, did you hear about, or did you see? You know, no problem. And I'm sad to say even believers choose to take part in that. The Bible calls that sinful. That sinful gossiping. Well, Pastor, I didn't say anything that wasn't true. Doesn't matter. Still gossip. You know why? Because if you got something to say it to the person's face. And privately. Well, Paul, in this passage, and we'll go through it, you know, fairly quickly, but Paul, in this passage, talks about the importance of the Great Commission in the lives of believers, or at least it ought to be important. And I want to look at some of the keys in this as we get into the passage. I already mentioned that we all have a worldview, whether it's good or bad, that depends on what informed your worldview. Remember Jiminy Cricket, right? What was he famous for? What saying? Let your conscience be your guide. Well, let me tell you, if you do that, you're in trouble. Because it depends who or what informs your conscience. Apparently, these men that we encountered at this restaurant had no conscience that what they were doing was offensive. They would say, oh, it's normal. Sometimes we can't let our conscience be the guide, because it's informed by the wrong things. Okay, what should it be informed by? For a believer, it should be informed by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the principles that we see in the Bible. Love one another. Love your enemy. I think out of all of them, that's the toughest, right? But with the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Love your enemy. Listen to what Paul says here. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. In other words, the Jews got caught in a trap back then. They thought religion, catch this, that religion was the way to be right with God. When you follow the life of Jesus, or you even look at the Old Testament, God detests religion. You know why? Because religion is man's attempt to reach God. So we make laws. We say, here's how we're going to put God in our debt to like us or forgive our sins. Bad theology. And the Jews were caught in this religious system that they had set up, believing that by keeping laws, they can be forgiven by God. Keeping a law never brings forgiveness, by the way. And they would be right with God. After all, they were Jews. They were born with special privilege. That part is true, but they forgot what those privileges are. Very simple. When Abraham was told that he was going to be the father of a nation, Israel, his commission was to lift up the name of God so that other nations would come to experience the grace and the love of God. Sounds awful like the Great Commission to me, doesn't it? So he says, the person who does these things will live by them. In other words, it's like making New Year's resolutions. You're never going to live up to them. You may do it for a day or so. But the only change that comes from the inside out through the Spirit of God and the Word of God will last. So when we make New Year's resolutions, you know, they go by the wayside rather quickly. It says, but the righteousness that is by faith, catch that, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. The answer here is no one. No religious system, nothing. The only one who could do that is God. He did exactly that, didn't he? He sent his one and only Son. From where? From heaven. So that whoever believes by faith in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. That's a righteousness that comes by faith. And it's a righteousness that takes God at his word. The Tower of Babel was man's attempt to reach God. God destroyed it. We have to come to God on our terms, not his. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. We have to come to God on his terms, not ours. See, we want a God who we can kind of tell what to do. We want a God who doesn't look at our sin and say, it's okay, don't worry about it. Everybody does it. Don't worry. No. God's holy. He can't tolerate sin. And he would have been just and right to do away with all of us. Instead, in his love and mercy, he sends his Son so that we can know true forgiveness by faith in what he did on the cross. I mean, think about this. This is incredible. Nobody else has a better message. I have to laugh these days, you know, with all the election stuff going on. And, you know, it's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And all of these promises. Let me tell you something. You're not going to do anything unless God ordains it. And we think we can control God. Look at this. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is near your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith, the faith we proclaim. Why do we make this so difficult and so so hard? You know why? Because we still believe with our ego that we have to do something to earn God's love or his salvation. It's an ego thing. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do. The only thing we can do is by faith accept the love of God for us. That's it. That's it. And look what the next verse says. It says, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the message concerning faith we proclaim. If you declare with what? Say it like you're alive. That what? Jesus? If you don't believe that, we got to talk. And believe in your heart that what? Raised him from the dead. You will be saved. There's the gospel. Now, we can say anything, right? Paul covers all of that. He says, look, we need to proclaim as a Christian that Jesus is Lord. That in itself is, I can get 100 sermons out of that. But Jesus is Lord. That's a theological statement of fact. He is Lord. And believe in your heart, that's the key, that God raised him from the dead. You see, I serve a Savior who is alive, not dead. Every man-made religion, every founder is dead and still in the grave. My Savior is alive. Makes a big difference. Why does it make a big difference? Because the fact that God and the Spirit and Jesus was raised from the dead shows that God accepted his sacrifice as a total payment for your sin and mine. We can't do that. Jesus did it for us. And so, he is Lord. I'll get into more of that in a minute. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. The Great Commission says, go into your world and make disciples. It doesn't say make converts. Only God can make converts. But we have to be the mouthpiece for the gospel. And so when people come to Christ, our job then is to come alongside of them and help them in their journey, teaching them what Jesus teaches in the scripture so they can grow. And it says, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Well, Pastor, I'm afraid to share my faith. Why? Because you might get mocked? Well, because people may call you names? Well, welcome to the club. I mean, if he's Lord, here's the question I want you to wrestle with. If he's Lord, Lord means that we submit to him. And if we submit to him in love, then we shouldn't be bashful about sharing him. Does that make sense? So what are they going to tell you? Listen, I worked in the secular world before I went to seminary as a Christian. And I was called every name in the book. And I didn't really care. I can tell you this, I know at least 6 people who came to the Lord. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying, hey, Liz, was I uncomfortable? Absolutely. Nobody enjoys being called names or being told, you know, you're a weakling. Christianity is just for weaklings. I mean, nobody enjoys being told that. However, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tells me to do that. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tells me that we need to be in church on Sunday. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tells me that I need to be reading and studying his word. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tells me I need to pray every day. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tells me I need to confess my sin and turn from it every day. Is anybody here who gets through a day without sinning? If you do, you're a better person than me. Because in that restaurant, there was plenty of sinning going on in my heart, believe me. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Well, Pastor, they killed most of the apostles. Well, yeah, that's true. So what? They died serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've lost that type of commitment in the American church. We want to be comfortable. We want to have, forgive me, easy believism. God, don't ask me to come out of my comfort zone. Just don't do that. And yet the culture does that every day. And people don't even resist it. If I'm going to campaign, it's going to be for Jesus Christ. No one else. It's going to be Jesus Christ. Because I have this problem. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So if they kill me, they kill me. What's the big deal? Right? You have to kind of look at this. By the way, if you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is a great book to read, you will find out that most times when Christians were executed because of their faith, they led many of their captives to faith in Christ because of the way they faced death for their king. And then Paul says something that is kind of scandalous, at least in his time. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. When the Jews heard that, the hair on the neck would bristle because they looked at Gentiles as dogs. See, the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ is that he died for everybody. He died for both the Jew and the Gentile. He died for everybody. He died for the criminal on the cross. He died for the woman at the well. He died for a harlot by the name of Mary Magdalene. He died for another harlot by the name of Rahab. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone, should underline that, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'll take you to the rest real quick. And this is going to be the last section. It says, how then can we call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? The answer is they can't. You want to know why our country's in trouble? Our country's in trouble because we have no more moral compass and we have stopped doing this. We no longer talk to the people about the only hope, and it's not going to come from a presidential election. Our only hope comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. We stop talking about people we stop talking about the one who provided the cure for a terminal disease called sin. How dare we withhold that from people who need the Lord? And that's exactly what we do. Well, I'm not withholding anything. Well, when was the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus and the gospel? I'm not talking about going up to somebody and saying, hey, you know, look what Jesus did for me. Yeah. If that presentation goes anywhere else besides he forgave me of my sin, and gave me eternal life by trusting in him alone. If we turn that into, he gave me a big house, or he gave me a Mercedes, or he gave me this and that, man, we're on the wrong track. If there's anyone who had reason to complain, it was Paul. He wrote 4 of his letters from dungeons. And jails then were not like jails today. But even the bars of a jail could not keep him silent on the gospel. You know why? Because he obeyed his Lord. And he wasn't going to let jail bars stifle the commission. Remember the Philippian jailer? Listen, the government can't stop us from talking about Jesus. They will try, but they can't. We opened up during COVID. And some people would say, well, that was irresponsible. No, it wasn't. Because who was going to tell people about the hope in Jesus Christ? It was important enough for bars and strip clubs to be open. And if marijuana dispensers were around back then, they would be open too. But you're telling me the church is less important? I wasn't going to fly with that. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? When I'm not saying, or I'm not advocating, most of you know me, I'm not advocating that we go out and beat up people with the gospel. That's not what I'm advocating at all. What I am advocating was going out and building relationships, showing people that Jesus loves them. And he's offering something better than this world ever offers, and that's forgiveness and new life, and that is an eternal home in heaven. At the same restaurant, by the way, a gentleman came walking in with a shirt, and on the back of his shirt he says, I'm on my way to hell to meet all my friends. You know, I know, unfortunately, who's the head of Twitter now, X? Musk has the same philosophy, and my heart breaks. Because, and this is where a biblical worldview would help, because hell is not a party. Hell is a place of eternal torment, eternal isolation. You're not going to see your buddies down there. It is not a place where of an eternal party. The Bible says it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth with no chance of ever seeing God. Whoa. Right, we go on. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I will go anywhere I am invited to speak. But the centerpiece of what I say will always be Jesus Christ and the gospel. You know, too many people now expect evangelicals to get up and do an endorsement of candidates. You won't hear that from me. In my opinion, that's a waste of precious time. Because that opportunity has to be spent preaching the good news of the gospel to people who need Jesus. And that time could be better spent encouraging people to get involved with discipleship groups, with Bible studies, for them to continue to grow in their love for Christ and in their service for Christ. That's how the time is better spent. How beautiful, and this is a quote from Isaiah, by the way, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are your feet? If we go and share the good news with people, the Bible says our feet are beautiful. I think I have the ugliest feet in the world. But as God looks at them, says, they're beautiful because people are hearing. But not all Israelites are accepted the good news. We know that. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? I sympathize with Isaiah because sometimes I get frustrated, right? Who's listening, Lord? Who's listening? Consequently, if there's any passage that you, any verse that you highlight here, this should be the verse. Consequently, faith comes from what? Say like your life. And the message is heard through what? Is that simple? Faith doesn't come by osmosis. There needs to be hearing the word and believing the word. Whose word? My word? No. The word of Jesus Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. And in these last couple of verses, I'm going to read them real quick, but let me tell you the gist of it. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wanted to make sure there were no excuses. Because God gives everyone a chance to hear. He gives everyone a chance to repent. What we do with it, that's between us and God. Right? Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. In other words, Israel is a nation. You dropped the ball. You were supposed to be the light that draws other people to God. And because now you are in sin, I'm giving that commission to the Gentiles. And you're going to get jealous. And God says, I hope that jealousy and anger would lead you back to an understanding of what faith is all about. I will make you angry by the nation, the Gentiles, that they believed has no understanding because they didn't have the law. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me, the Gentiles. I wasn't seeking God. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Can you see that image? God wants them to be saved by faith, not by laws, by faith. And he says, look, all day long I'm holding out my hand to you. All you need to do is by faith take my hand. Wow. Listen, it's easy to pick on Israel. But I believe if the American church is not careful and we don't repent of our obvious sin and some of our less obvious sins, and we don't turn back to God and the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, the church in North America is in for some very tough times. Very tough times. Listen, God never wants to destroy. He will discipline, but he will discipline his people with the purpose of restoring them, not with the purpose of destroying them. However, I don't know where God's limit is. I don't know when God finally says enough is enough. Now it's time for judgment. He knows that. I'll tell you this. If I were God, we'd all be in trouble. But yet he gives everybody opportunity. Because he loves them. Go into the world, making disciples, teaching them all I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May I make a suggestion? Why don't you make it an intentional act, if I will, not to even talk about politics this week. Why don't you make it an intentional act not to talk about the rampant violence in our country this week? Why don't you make it an intentional act to say there's only one solution for all of this, and his name is Jesus Christ? So let's gossip, holy gossip, about my King and my Lord. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up, please. Remember, next week you'll have Angel here. Please make time to come out and encourage him. You're going to be blessed. I guarantee you that. Chip? Kim? I thought you were raptured there for a minute. I thought you were raptured. I'm going to ask you to stand if possible and ask you to sing this rather prayerfully. It's a very quick song, but sing it rather prayerfully. I do want to make a commercial for the shoeboxes, Operation Christmas Child. We're going to start collecting those. We only have about 6 weeks, right? All right, so November 17th. The instructions are in the box, correct, if you choose to participate in that. All right? Yes? Oh, okay. If you're interested in a Crossbridge shirt, see Sharon after the service, and we'll place an order for you. We need to have 24, okay? And what's the price on them? Just so, like mine, right?
Yeah, my shirt cost about $56.
Does that? Listen, where there's God, there's hope. Where the gospel is proclaimed, there's hope. Let us not walk around like everything's hopeless, because God's still in control.
We
thanks for hanging in there with me. I know we took a little bit longer today, but you're not going to see me next week, so I had to say what I had to say. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone who's here today. Thank you, Father, that we still have the freedom to come, to proclaim the gospel, to read the word of God. We have the freedom to pray. We have the freedom, Father, to go from this place into our mission field and show the people the love of Christ in word and deed. Help us to do that. We will give you all the glory. And all God's people said,
amen.
Yeah, that's good. God bless. Have a great lunch.